is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone this morning to the live stream of Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. My name is Brian Ross. I'm the pastor of our assembly. So let's just get the first thing out of the way. Let's just deal with it right out of the gate so that you don't all have to comment in the live chat. I've shaved the beard. I did not meet my agreed upon goal this week, so the beard had to go. Still working on, you know, the whole goals of losing weight, etc. But I'm not sure if the beard's coming back. I believe it's the American Constitution talks about a little thing called domestic tranquility, right? So the wife is not partial to the beard, so I don't know if the beard's going to come back, but that doesn't mean that I'm not still going to be trying to, you know, work on some goals here of losing weight. So just so we just get that out of the way, because I know there's some of you out there, you know, I already was asked during Sunday school. Blake asked me. I know Aaron's going to ask. I know there's going to be people that are going to want to know, so that's what's going on with that. So other than that, I'm pleased to welcome you to the live stream this morning. And as I say at the beginning of all these, I'm not really going to be looking at the comments in live time. I do read them afterwards, but I'm mostly working, focusing on my notes, my Bible, and the camera as we go through today's message. I'd like to begin with a couple of announcements, and then get into some things that you need to keep in mind for this week. So some announcements. As I've said every time I've come on, I've created a Corona Comfort Prayer playlist on YouTube with all the messages that I've done related to this current situation that we find ourselves in. I also want to mention again that Blake Donaldson is creating Bible study lessons for the teens of Grace Life Bible Church. And these videos can be accessed by searching for Blake and Amy Donaldson on YouTube. Again, that's Blake and Amy Donaldson. Blake space and space Amy Donaldson. So there's spaces in there if you're looking for that. Also, Blake and Amy have created a Grace Life Bible Church teens page, group page on Facebook. An email was sent out about that. When my notes are posted live to the church's website, I have links here in my notes to both the YouTube page as well as the Facebook group page. So any of the parents or students out there looking for that information, you could find it there or in the emails that Blake has sent. So some things to keep in mind for this week as far as Grace Life Bible Church is concerned. The first thing is that if you haven't heard, Brother Fred Curtis passed away. He passed away on Thursday. Wayne and I were able to go visit with him on Tuesday. You know, Fred was in great spirits. He was alert. He knew who we were. He was happy to see us on Tuesday, but by Thursday, with no dialysis for over 10 days for his kidneys, he had passed away in about within 48 hours. So I'm glad that I was able to go visit Fred and see Fred when I did, and be able to talk to Fred. Also, before I finish talking about Fred, while it's on my mind, I want to mention Lori Zimmer, my mother-in-law, and Joanne Blaine. Just be praying for them, for the medical situation with Becky's grandma. There's a lot of challenges out there, and so just keep them in your prayers as well. So Tuesday at 11 o'clock, there's a memorial service for Fred Curtis at the Camp Lake Baptist Church in Sparta. So there's a viewing at 10. There's a service at 11. I'm going to be preaching the funeral, Fred's funeral, at 11 o'clock. And then there's a luncheon to follow that at the church at 12. Okay, so let me just go through that again. That's Tuesday are the services for Brother Fred Curtis. And they're going to be at Camp Lake Baptist Church in Sparta. There's a viewing at 10, a service at 11, and then a fellowship time or luncheon after that at 12. Okay, so if you are interested in that, you're going to need to look up the address. It's also in the email that Sylvia sent out. Also, Tuesday at noon, the Grace Life Bible Church COVID-19 reboot survey is going to close. I checked the survey before I got on. There are currently 44 responses to the survey. If you haven't gotten the survey yet, again, I knew that some folks might get missed because of email. I've also tried to share it with people that I thought needed to possibly get it through Facebook Messenger. So if you haven't gotten it yet, I need you to tell me. And if you've gotten it but haven't had a chance to do it yet, again, if you would please have that done by noon on Tuesday. At noon, I'm going to turn off the responses to that. So your opportunity to respond would end at that point. All right. So if you didn't receive one, I need to know about it. And if you did receive it and you haven't done it yet, just a reminder to please get that done. We want to get feedback from as many people as possible about, you know, where things should go moving forward. Wednesday at 7 p.m., I am planning to do a midweek message. I had to cancel it this past week because I just didn't get to it. It's a lot going on with visiting Brother Fred and then trying to put together the survey, and I just didn't have time to do that on top of everything else that I had going on. So I am planning a Wednesday message at this point for 7 p.m. There is no Living the Transformed Life Zoom call this coming Friday. We will resume that on Friday, June 5th. So we're taking a few weeks off, and then when we get into June, we're going to resume the every other Friday schedule on that. Okay, so just be aware of that. As I've said, there are funds available for people who are struggling financially because of the coronavirus situation, a one anothering fund. If you are in need of assistance or what have you, you need to let myself or our treasurer, Daryl Dornboss, know. And then that'll be kept confidential. And then, as always, your PayPal, you can donate to the church in your offering through PayPal or send it via mail to Daryl. And again, we very much appreciate all of the financial support that has continued throughout this time of not having church. And we're looking forward to the time when we can all get back together and enjoy fellowship and so forth with one another. So those are my announcements for this week, the things to keep in mind. Also visit Sylvia's email, revisit that if you can't remember anything, and I'll try to hit the highlights of that again at the end before we're done. So the title of this morning's message is Colossians chapter 1 verse 20, Peace Through Blood. The title again is Peace Through Blood. So let's go to that passage and let's read verses 19 and 20, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, I'm sorry, verse 19 first. For it pleased the Father that through him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We're grateful for the technology that's available to us to be able to continue the ministry, to be able to continue to teach and preach the word of God, and to you know, edify the saints in sound doctrine. We're grateful for those who tune into this broadcast every week and or listen to it after the fact out there in cyberspace. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to come live. Lord, we pray for the church. We pray for the Curtis family. We pray for Lori and Joan and the family here with Becky's grandmother. We pray for our board as we weigh the survey options and make decisions moving forward about what direction things are going to go, et cetera, that we'll be able to have make sound decisions based upon the feedback and based upon your word. We're grateful for the time that we could spend together this morning, even if it is remotely, and that we have a Bible in our language that we can read, understand, and be edified from. We're grateful for all these things this morning and for all that you've done for us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So the topic again this morning, the title is Peace Through Blood. So last week, we were looking at verse 19 where it says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So that's the verse we were looking at during our time together last week. And we were studying the doctrine of fullness, right? And remember from that God the Father did this in a way that pleased himself. He didn't do it the way Brian thought it should be done or the way somebody else thought it should be done. He did it the way that pleased him to do it. So it's not for us to question, why did God do it this way and not some other way, right? Why did he keep a secret? Why did he, you know, not fully disclose everything, you know, from the very beginning, from the foundation of the world? Why did he do it the way that he chose to do it in the exaltation of Christ and how, you know, and all that stuff? It's not for us to question that. Because God did it in the exact way that brought pleasure to himself, right? We saw that last Sunday when we looked at, for the world by wisdom knew not God, but that God in his wisdom chose to save people through the foolishness of preaching. We saw that in 1 Corinthians, right? So God in his wisdom did it in a way that pleased him, that would glorify him, that would, you know, ultimately support and manifest Christ as the preeminent one in heaven and earth, as we've already seen, right? So verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And then we went to chapter 2, verse 9, and we saw, for in him, that's still talking about Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So all the fullness of the Godhead, as we looked at the doctrine of fullness, dwells and resides bodily in the person of Jesus Christ, according to what Paul says here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Then verse 10 says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And then I simply ask the question, if we are, so think about this, if Christ is the very fullness of the Godhead bodily, then nothing can be added to him. Nothing can be added to Christ. If he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, nothing can be added to Christ, right? And secondly, if believers are in him, what can be added to us? What can be added to us which we do not already possess in Christ, right? So therefore the scripture says that we are complete in him. So it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We are in him. He is in us. We are complete. We stand perfect and complete in Christ, lacking nothing positionally in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we saw that last time. So come with me back to chapter 1 and let's start looking this morning at verse 20. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So the first thing that I want you to notice about that verse, about verse 20 there, and that it's important that we take note of at the outset here, is that verse 20 is a continuation of verse 19. Okay? So not only, look at verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and, in addition, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and then you have the period there at the end of verse 20, right? So, not only did it please the Father that all fullness should dwell in Christ, but the Father in verse 19, in verse 20, has made peace by the blood of his cross. So by the blood of the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father has made peace. So the blood that Christ shed on the cross, the blood that Christ shed on Calvary, is instrumental in the Father's ability to make peace, okay, is what this says. So notice what it says. And have for it pleased the Father that in him, that's Christ, should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. So God the Father, on the basis of the shed blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has declared peace. Now, there's peace that's declared, as we're going to see here, dispensationally, or on the macro view, on the big picture, and how God's dealing with man. But there's also peace, as if you look at verse 21, and you... So now he's talking specifically to the Colossians, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So there's the cross, the blood of the cross is the basis of peace, not only in the macro plans and dispensational working of God's plan, but also, and that's in verse 20 on the big picture, the macro level, but then in verse 21, it's on the personal level as well. Okay, and all of it is wrapped up in the blood of his cross and the peace that was made, right? So when God the Father looks at the cross work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is he totally and completely satisfied with it? Is there anything that Christ left undone? Is there anything that Christ didn't accomplish? The answer to both of those questions is no. He's fully satisfied the offended justice of God against sin. And through the death on the cross, through the shed blood of Christ on the cross, he provided the mechanism whereby God the Father could make peace at the big level grace and peace at the big level, and then also at the individual level down here, right? So as we think about this passage this morning, we're going to be looking at verse 20. And verse 20 is talking more about this big picture stuff, this dispensational big picture stuff. And next Sunday, we're going to be looking at how this affects us individually in verse 21, at the personal level. Now, if you look at verse 20 there, notice what it says. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. The verb that is translated having made peace. That verb that's translated having made peace is in the past tense in English, right? So, God the Father has already made peace, right? Having made peace is in the past tense. Okay, so this is a that phraseology, that language there in verse 20, therefore, is indicative or emblematic of a past accomplished fact, right? God Almighty, God the Father, has already made peace through the blood of his cross. So he's made peace, he's already made peace through something specific, right? How did he make peace? He made peace through the blood or by the blood of the cross, right? Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. So it's very specific there what Paul's talking about, right? So what Paul says here, in Colossians 1:20 is really sort of it's a nutshell of what he says in Ephesians chapter 2, right? So what he says in that phrase, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, is a one phrase summary of a lot of things that are explained in more detail in Ephesians chapter 2. So hold your hand there in Colossians 1 and come back with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Hold your hand in Colossians 1 there and come back with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, this is a familiar passage. We study this passage a lot when we think about the idea of rightly dividing the word of truth, when we think about acknowledging the divisions of time that God has placed within his word between time past, but now, and ages to come, etc. But I want to look at this passage through a little bit different lens, right? Notice, flip back to Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 20, right? The title of this is Peace Through Blood. Notice what it says in verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. So what is it that brought peace? What brought peace is the blood of the cross. Something was accomplished by Christ on the cross as he died for the sins of the world, as he shed his blood, that made it possible for God Almighty to declare peace. For God the Father to declare peace, right? For it pleased the Father that in him, that's Christ, should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. So what we want to pay attention to now as we read Ephesians chapter 2 is we want to be looking for the idea of peace and that how that peace was accomplished. Okay, that's what we're thinking about as we look here in Ephesians 2. Look with me at verse 11. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Familiar verses to us at Grace Life Bible Church. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, talking about time past, ye were without Christ. So the Gentiles in time past, they were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. So they were not a part of the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, right? So, in time past, is there enmity between Jew and Gentile? There is a distinction that God has made in his dealings with mankind in time past between the circumcision, the nation of Israel, and the Gentiles, right? And God dealt with the world in time past on the basis of that distinction. So, the Gentiles, those two verses are explaining the condition of the Gentiles in time past. They are without hope and then without God in the world, right? So the only hope a Gentile had is to go through the nation of Israel, is to seek God by embracing Israel, by converting to Judaism, etc., right? Becoming a proselyte, blessing Israel. There was blessing available to God through Israel in time past. And Israel enjoyed that favored standing with God, right? Well, we know now through the message and ministry of the Apostle Paul and the revelation of the mystery committed to Paul that changed, that what was true in time past isn't true anymore. Look at verse 13 and note are key words of peace and blood. Okay? Notice what it says. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So the Gentiles in time past, they were far off. Now, in the dispensation of grace, they've been made nigh. They've been brought near. What was true in the past isn't true any longer, right? How, in verse 13, were they made nigh? How were they made near? How did this happen? It says right in the verse, by the blood of Christ. So God's ability to take these Gentiles who are far off, who are without hope and without God in the world, God's ability to make them nigh is based upon the blood of Christ. Okay, now remember the verse we're looking at, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, right? So look at verse 14 now. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 14. Notice what it says. So he just talked about the blood of Christ. He just talked about them who were far off being made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now look what he says in verse 14. For he, talking about Christ, is our peace. Peace through blood, right? Christ shed his blood, right? For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So on the basis of the blood of Christ in verse 13, Christ is our peace in verse 14. That, notice how Christ being our peace does not happen apart from the blood of Christ there in the previous verse, in verse 13. So put another way, it is Christ's blood that broke down the middle wall partition between Jew and Gentile that is therefore able to make Jew and Gentile one today in the dispensation of grace, right? And so there's a peace that's accomplished by blood or through blood in that passage, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So the blood of Christ is the mechanism by which the Gentiles are made nigh, for he is our peace. It is the mechanism through which peace between Jew and Gentile has been established, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. Now, this peace, this does not mean like political peace. This does not mean like, you know, that all the Gentiles and all the Jews for the last 2,000 years have been, you know, sitting around the proverbial campfire holding hands and singing Kumbaya, right? We know that's not true politically, right? We know that the Jews have been very persecuted throughout world history. We know that at various times, they've really been the brunt of a lot of poor behavior on the part of the Gentiles, right? So this peace here that is being talked about is not political peace, it's spiritual peace. It's access to God kind of peace. That there's no advantage anymore of being a Jew, whereas in time past there was definitely an advantage in that situation. So he's our peace, and the peace is brought about by the blood of Christ in the previous verse. Look with me at verse 15, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, having abolish in his flesh the enmity. The enmity, that's hatred. That's the opposite of peace. So where there used to be enmity, where there used to be hatred, where there used to be discord, now there's peace. And the thing that brought about the peace is the blood of Christ, according to verse 13. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Now watch, for to make in himself of twain, that's two, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So notice that there's the word peace again, right? So making peace. So Christ abolished the former enmity that existed between Jew and Gentile, and he's brought about peace. How? How was that done? That was done in verse 13 by the blood of Christ, right? Now look at verse 16, makes it clear. So verse 15 and 16, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So spiritual peace and that, verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. So this is going to be by the cross. Okay? Now, what happened on the cross? What happened at the cross? What happened on the cross is that Christ shed his what? He shed his blood, right? Now flip back, hold your hand in Ephesians, flip back to Colossians, and look at the phrase again that we're trying to understand in verse 20. Colossians 1, verse 20. And having made peace, now look at the expression there, through the blood of his cross. So we understand that Christ shed his blood for sin on the cross, right? Go back to Ephesians. So we understand that this peace, at the end of verse 15, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity. See, when Christ was slain on the cross, when Christ was slain on the cross, he shed his blood. And in the shedding of that blood, something was accomplished at the dispensational macro level in God's dealing with mankind, right? And it's on the basis of that that God is now able to form the body of Christ. It's on the basis of that that he's able to now take Jew and Gentile of the twain, of the two, where there used to be enmity, and he's able to bring peace and reconcile them both unto God in one body by the cross. You cannot read about that in the Old Testament. You cannot read about that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You cannot read about that in the early Acts period. Why? Because that portion of what was accomplished at the cross when Christ shed his blood was part of the mystery kept secret since the world began and only revealed to and through the message and ministry of the Apostle Paul. So the blood of his cross, Colossians 1:20, he brought peace by the blood of his cross. Paul's explaining the mechanics of all of that here in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 16 again. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that are nigh, that through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So, is there any advantage anymore today in this dispensation of being a Hebrew, of being a member of the nation of Israel, of being of the stock of Israel, of being of the Jewish nation? There is no more spiritual advantage today in this dispensation because through the mechanics of the crosswork of Christ, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has leveled the playing field and he's reconciling both unto God in one body by the cross. So the cross upon which Christ shed his blood is what brought peace. And it is the basis, it's the basis upon which the Father can reconcile both Jew and Gentile to himself in one body. Now think about what it means to reconcile. Two parties that are at enmity means they don't like each other. They have things that separate them. They don't like each other, right? But if there's a reconciliation, that means that they are laying aside their former enmity, that they are putting away their former enmity, that they are not going to operate on the basis of that enmity anymore so that they can be brought together in a reconciliation, right? So there's an issue in reconciliation that is a macro dispensational issue, and then there's also yours, mine, our individual reconciliation to God. Both of those things are true. Both of those things, my individual Brian Ross and my peace with God was accomplished by the blood of the cross. God's ability to save me and make me a part of the church, the body of Christ, was accomplished by the blood of his cross. So the blood of his cross needs to be understood at both the big level, the big picture level up here, as well as the individual personal level down here. Okay, it's both things. Now hold your hand, you can probably let Ephesians 2 go. Come with me over to Romans chapter 11 quickly. Come over to Romans chapter 11. So there's both of these issues involved in reconciliation. And we need to be careful about this. There's a lot of confusion right now going on about reconciliation out there in the body of Christ. There are people that believe that people die and go to hell with their sins forgiven, because God forgave all the world of all their sin at the cross. And the verses that we're going to go to right now are the verses that people use to say that. My belief and my contention is that that is a misuse of these verses. These verses are talking about the big level, the big macro level and what God's doing. And then you have the personal level underneath that. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Paul says, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I'm the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I might provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Look at verse 15. For if the casting away of them, that's Israel, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead, right? So, did God set Israel aside because of their unbelief? Yes, he cast them away temporarily, right? So that he could reconcile the entire world in one body by the cross. That verse is not saying that all the world is automatically reconciled, that each individual person is automatically reconciled to God. That verse is talking about what God is doing on the big picture level. He's allowing a time of worldwide reconciliation to Jew and Gentile without distinction because of the casting away of Israel. There's a dispensational issue there that has allowed me as an individual Gentile to have access to God, not through the intermediary of the nation of Israel. But that doesn't mean that I automatically am reconciled, that I'm automatically forgiven. I have to trust the gospel. I have to believe I'm a sinner. I have to believe that Christ died for my sin. I have to, by faith, apply the provision of the cross to my own individual sin account, if you will, for forgiveness, right? So Christ, all of sin, Christ died for all of sin, right? But my forgiveness, I have to trust the gospel and believe that I am a sinner and that I needed that. Propitiation for my own personal sin, right? So the blood of the cross applies at the big level in reconciliation, and it also applies at the personal individual level. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, again, why am I bringing this up here? I'm bringing this up here because Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16 just said, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. So, again, the blood of his cross that brought peace is big picture and individual. It's both things that we need to keep in mind here as we think about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is the passage creating all the confusion. I'm not going to deal with all that right now. I've dealt with that in other teachings. If you want me to direct you to where to find that on the church's website, I'd be happy to do it. But look at verse 18. It says, for all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. So those are believing people. Hath reconciled us unto God by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. So as a saved, reconciled person, I now am an ambassador for Christ, as we'll see in a second, and I go out and teach the ministry of reconciliation. I point the way to lost and dying sinners out here about how they can also be reconciled to God by the blood of his cross. Okay? Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So that is a dispensational issue. God today, in the dispensation of grace, is not holding men's sins against them. That won't always be true. When the dispensation of grace ends and God ceases dealing with the world on the basis of grace, is he very much going to hold their sins against them? The answer to that is obviously yes, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Listen, if everyone is automatically forgiven and reconciled to God, then why bother making me an ambassador at all? It doesn't make any sense, right? I'm an ambassador for the ministry of reconciliation for the express purpose of pointing out to other people that they need a redeemer, that Christ died for their sin, that the blood of the cross is for them and for their sin, and that it is the only provision that God will accept for their sin. So, the Father having made peace through the blood of the cross, go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 16 again, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. Now, you're going to have to kind of put your thinking cap on with me here. Now go back to our text in Colossians. Go back to our text in Colossians. All right? So, he's reconciling both in one God, he's reconciling both on himself in one body through the cross, through the blood of his cross, right? Look at Colossians chapter 1 again, verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, right? So, my ability to be saved, my ability to have access to God the Father, to have access to eternal life, is because of the blood of his cross, something that God Almighty accomplished through the crosswork of his Son, right? So I have that access. Now it is incumbent upon me to believe the gospel, right? But notice Colossians 1, verse 18 with me again. Again, talking about Christ, it says, and he is the head of the body, the church. So, how is God accomplishing the formation of the body of Christ? He's, according to Ephesians chapter 2, he's doing it through his blood. He's doing it through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it's being accomplished, right? He's reconciling both unto God in one body by the cross. And when you are in the body, who is your head in verse 18? Your head is Christ. So Christ is the head of the body, the church. Very clear if you just read the verses, okay? Now go back to verse 20 with me. Go back to verse 20 with me. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to think about. Notice how none of that is possible without the blood of his cross. And by him, verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. So there's a reconciliation there. We're going to get to that in a minute. That reconciliation in that verse is not talking about my individual reconciliation. That's covered in verse 21. This reconciliation in verse 20 is talking about, as we'll see in a minute, the positions of governmental authority in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, from verse 16, right? But how is that done? How is that accomplished? It's accomplished by the blood of his cross. So, therefore to me, the expression through his blood, go back to verse 14. I mentioned this on my message from Easter when we looked at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood. I talked to you about how modern versions leave out the phrase through his blood in verse 14. This is an absolute mistake. This is an absolute tragedy to the text to do that, because when you do that, you lose the connection between the personal aspect of the blood of Christ and what the blood of Christ does for me personally as an individual. What does it do for me in verse 14? It gives me redemption and forgiveness of sins. That's what the blood of Christ accomplishes for me personally. Brian Ross, and all of you that are listening, right? But what verse 20 is saying is that the blood of the cross did not just accomplish something for me personally, for you personally, for us personally, as far as redemption and forgiveness of sins, but that it also accomplished something on the big level, on the dispensational level, on the macro level, in terms of God the Father being able to reconcile all things back to himself through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's through the blood of the cross, the big level stuff, and so is the personal level stuff. So no peace, no reconciliation, either on the big level or the individual level, is going to be accomplished apart from the blood of Christ. And when we leave the blood of Christ out of verse 14, we lose the connection. We lose the interlocking understanding of that. And the absolute essential nature of the blood of Christ is obscured by doing that, when they leave that out in the critical text in modern versions. So not only is this the basis upon which we have redemption and forgiveness of sins individually, talking about the blood of Christ, it is also the basis upon which God is able to accomplish his entire eternal purpose dispensationally. So it's not a minor thing that doesn't affect any doctrine. Okay? So let's go back to verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, so that's Christ, to reconcile all things unto himself. Okay? So, the blood of his cross is the basis upon which the Father is going to reconcile all things unto himself. Okay? Now, what all things is this talking about? Is this talking about the trees and the grass and the birds and the bees? Is that the all things that this is talking about? No. The all things that this is talking about in verse 20 are defined in the context. Go back to verse 16. Go back to verse 16 and see it again. For by him were all things created, right? Well, in verse 20, what is he going to reconcile unto himself? He's reconciling all things. So the all things that are being reconciled are defined in the context starting in verse 16. Verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Now watch, all things, okay, what all things? Thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, in the context, in the same verse, all things were created by him and for him, and before him all, and he is before all things. What all things? Thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, and by him all things consist. What all things? Thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. Now it's other stuff too, okay? But in the context, it's specifically talking about verse 16. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. What all things? Thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, verse 16, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. It is because of the blood of his cross that all things, all of the governmental positions of rank and authority throughout the universe are going to be reconciled back to God. God the Father is going to accomplish that, is accomplishing that through the blood of the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, not only was Christ dying for the sin of the world, not only was he dying for your sin and my sin, but he was also dying to accomplish accomplish all of the mechanistic workings of the eternal purpose of God, so that all of it could be accomplished that would bring glory to God the Father. Because remember, what did it say in verse 19? It says, for it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell in Christ, that peace would be made through the blood of his cross, and by the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Okay? So, the all things that are going to be reconciled there through the blood of the cross are the thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers in verse 16. All the things that were made by him and for him. They're all going to be reconciled back under the authority of the Godhead because of the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the way Paul writes this verse, obviously writing it under inspiration of God, he writes in such a way that you can't miss it. You cannot miss what he's talking about. Read the rest of the verse with me, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Now watch the clarification here. by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things where? In heaven. Well, where else in this chapter, as he talked about explicitly things in heaven and earth that are visible and invisible, and then defined what they are and called them all things? It's in verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him, right? So verse 20 is abundantly clear. You can't miss it. What's it talking about? It's talking about how all of those positions of governmental authority in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, are going to be reconciled back under the authority and the jurisdiction of God the Father through the blood of the crosswork of Christ. So there is more going on. When the Lord Jesus Christ hangs there on Calvary, there's more going on at that event in terms of the outworking of God's plan than humanity or the adversary knew about. Because there were things that God was accomplishing at that event that he never talked about, that he never spoke about, that he never revealed, that he never disclosed, until the revelation of the mystery, until the secret purpose of God is made known and revealed. You know, this is why I keep talking about the eternal purpose of God. Now, these verses here have been very much about big, grand, big picture things from verse 15 all the way down to verse 20. Verse 14 was about our redemption and our forgiveness of sins. And then in verse 21, he's going to pivot back and explain how all this applies to the Colossians. Okay? But look at verse... Go with me back to... We're almost done. Go with me back to Ephesians 3. Go with me back to Ephesians 3. See, Paul says that this whole thing, this whole information, it's unsearchable. You cannot go back into the Old Testament, the Gospels, or the early Acts period and find any of this stuff talked about. Because it's unsearchable. It was a mystery. It was hidden God. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Again, that means you cannot, it's not there to be found. A lot of people make out, well, you know, if you find the right decoder ring from the cereal box, you can go back to the Old Testament and shine it on there and see the mystery. That's not what the verse says. The verse says it's unsearchable, it's untraceable, it's untrackable. It cannot be found because it's not there. Why is it not there? Verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. What is God doing today in the dispensation of grace? He's manifesting, revealing, and making known his manifold wisdom. Right? What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7? But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? In a mystery, right? So it's talking here about the manifold wisdom of God, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose. So the manifold wisdom of God is wrapped up in the eternal purpose, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. All of this, the reconciliation of all things in heaven and earth, the centering of all thrones and dominions and principalities and powers and mights and so on and so forth under the authority and the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all part of the mystery, and this is all part of the eternal purpose of God. So I feel like a somewhat of a broken record. I hope you don't feel that way, but you've got to understand this. You've got to get this. That God didn't just save you from your sin. He didn't just save you from eternal punishment. He made you a part of his eternal purpose as a member of the church, the body of Christ. And what is this purpose? Go back to Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 10 with me again. The purpose, the eternal purpose that's in Christ, Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that is still out there in the future. That's not talking about this dispensation right now. that in the dispensation, the fullness of times, he might gather together in one, here it is, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. When all things are in heaven and earth are centered in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal purpose of God will have been accomplished. Okay? Go back to Colossians. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father. You have to understand that the reason God did it this way is because this is what pleased him. This is the way he wanted to do it. So it doesn't matter what some theologian says. I got a question in Sunday School Hour about, you know, do you have to read Wayne Grudem's commentary or systematic theology to know what God said? Absolutely not. That's absurd. If you want to know the eternal purpose of God, get yourself a King James Bible and read the Bible in your own language, rightly dividing it, and you can understand it, and it's plain as day. But this is, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. This is the way God wanted to do it. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now watch verse 21. And you. So verse 21 is going to pivot away from the big stuff, from the macro stuff, from the overall dispensational stuff, and it's going to pivot now to the Colossians, to you and I as believers. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Not only on the big picture in heaven and earth, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, but on the micro level, on the personal level, on the individual level, God wants to reconcile every sinner that he can. He wants to reconcile to himself. Every sinner is not going to be reconciled, but it is God's desire, it is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Salvation today in Romans 3, it's unto all. The offer of salvation is unto all. But it's only upon all them that what? Believe. So, what we're going to see next Sunday when we get to verse 21, is Paul now is going to take everything that he said about Christ in this Christology, in this doctrine of Christ, from verse 15 all the way down through verse 20. He's going to take all of that big picture stuff, all that macro level stuff, and he's going to apply it and demonstrate what it means for you and I individually. Do you understand that you can be reconciled to God? Do you understand that God has made us, through the blood of his cross, he has made us reconcilable? And that he wants to do that. And when we believe that the blood of the cross was shed for us, in that is the power of God to forgive us of our sins, to redeem us, and to reconcile us to God, where God will put away the enmity and replace it with peace. Replacing the enmity with peace. Verse 20 gives us the macro view. Verse 21 gives us the personal view. So next Sunday when we're together in our study time, we'll start looking at verse 21. And we'll start looking at how all of this stuff applies to you and I as members of the church, the body of Christ. Before I close in prayer and sign off, I do want to remind you just about a couple things, especially if you may have joined us late. First of all, Tuesday is the memorial service for Fred Curtis at Camp Lake Baptist Church in Sparta. There's a viewing at 10 o'clock, and the service for Fred is going to be at 11. I'm going to be preaching that service for Fred, and then there is a luncheon at 12, okay? Remember also about the Grace Life Bible Church COVID-19 reboot survey. I have pushed the survey out, knowing that I might not have had your email, So we need, I need your email. If you didn't get that survey, I need you to communicate that with me. I could share it either in email or Facebook Messenger. So please make sure that you get that and that you do it. The survey window ends at noon on Tuesday. At noon on Tuesday, we'll be switching that off, and then we'll be going analyzing the results and trying to craft and devise a strategy moving forward. Remember also that at this time I'm planning a Wednesday night message at 7, Wednesday night message or midweek message at 7 o'clock. And as always, we appreciate your financial support and so forth. And the Friday night Zoom schedule will resume on June 5. So we'll resume the Transform Life on June 5. And then from there, we're going to be on our every other week schedule again moving forward. So please be aware of those things. Please keep the Curtis family in your prayers. Keep our fellow Michiganders in Midland and other areas that are dealing with tragedy and catastrophe in your prayers. Keep the board of the church in your prayers as we craft a way forward for the assembly. And keep Lori Zimmer and Joan Blaine in your prayers as they're dealing with poor health and all the complications that go along with that. So there's a lot to keep in mind. There's a lot to be grateful for. And let's just close in with a word of prayer. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We're grateful for this church. We're grateful for this assembly and for the ministry that we have here in West Michigan and also around the world, for the outreach, for the live stream, for the different avenues that we have. We're grateful for all of these things. We ask that you grant the board wisdom in making decisions. We pray for the Curtis family. We pray for Joan and Lori in their situation. And Lord, as if all this stuff wasn't enough, we have massive rain and flooding in parts of our state. And we just pray for those people in that area that you'll just comfort them and be with them, et cetera. We're grateful for all that you've done for us through Christ. In Christ's name, amen. Don't forget the survey. Don't forget about Fred Curtis. If you have any questions about any of that stuff, please make sure that you let me know. See you Wednesday night at 7. Mm-hmm.